First of all, I'd like to appreciate the members of the panel for sharing their time with us today and also willingness to share from their wealth of experience. I would love to talk briefly about the Agribusiness Entrepreneurship Webinar Series, which is a program sponsored by Washington State University, Ocean State University, Famwella HSBC as well. We begin this process on how can we make available practical information that could help a lot of people that want to venture into agribusiness. I'm bringing together a team of expertise that can actually, that are willing also to share from their experience. Today, we're going to be talking more about financing agribusiness and small farms. I have the opportunity to have with me the zona manager of the Bank of Agriculture, Mrs. Hidayat Folorinsho. She's going to have opportunity to talk a little bit more about herself as I welcome her in. I also have the co-founder of Food Locker. One of the companies that he is changing the idea of e-commerce in terms of an agricultural space. Mr. Femi Haike is going to be talking a little bit more about himself as well as I bring her in on board. I also have Professor Ikpe Moroti, who is representing the Ocean State University. It's the collaboration between Washington State University and Ocean State University has been a very unique one in terms of the kind of support that we have actually received from the VC, from Professor Kende, and from all the members of the team. It's been a very encouraging one on how people can actually work together to bring about solutions to some of the challenges facing in our country. So I really, really, really appreciate the team at Ocean State University, and I do not take the collaboration for granted at all. Just because of the time and also the depth of the conversation I would love us to get into today, I would first love to bring Mrs. Folorinsho just for like a brief introduction about yourself, ma, before we then go into more details about questions on the subject for today. Mrs. Folorinsho, are you there, ma?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, just a brief introduction about yourself, ma.
Yes, good morning, everyone. Thank you for bringing me on board. Thank you for the honor. I'm Hidayat Titilaya Folorinsho, the current Zona Manager, Bank of Agric. I'm really humbled today because my former MD is also online with me, Mohamed Santuraki. It's great to have you here, sir. I have been with Bank of Agric for some time now, and I've gone through the various regiments of the bank. Bank of Agric specifically is a development finance institution in Nigeria, the Bank of the Federal Government of Nigeria. I'm the current Assistant General Manager of the bank, and I belong to the Federal of the Bank. I cover southwestern zone of Nigeria, and in the zone we have about 30 branches covering 6 western states of Nigeria. We focus mainly on agri production. As a development finance institution, our central focus is promotion of agricultural production through value chain activities, rural development and empowerment of farmers, and contribution to the overall growth and development of Nigeria economy. We operate to three tiers, mainly that we have our head office in Kaduna, we have six zonal offices, and we have branches across Nigeria. And our financial services are normally through direct lending, fund management, collaboration, guarantee fund, micro lending, marketing loans, and different products that we have in BOA.
Yeah. Thank you so much for going into the details about the operation of the BOA, man. I really, really appreciate that. I would also love to bring Mr. Femi, just for like a brief introduction about yourself. I have a number of burning questions to get into the conversation more about the idea of what people can actually learn when it comes to financing their agribusiness. But first of all, so we'd love to get to know you a little bit more, Mr. Femi. Please, just a brief introduction about yourself.
Yeah, so thank you very much, Kolenga. And really happy to be here. So my name is Femi Aiki. Past experience, I was trained as an engineer in Nigeria. Had the experience of working abroad in building what they call complex products and platforms. So from driverless train systems, as well as working with companies that were building helicopters, aircrafts, and things like that. Did that for a number of years. And right now, based on the prior experience I had with working with Amazon in the United Kingdom as an operations manager. Right now, we run Food Locker in Nigeria with a team, a rapidly growing team of about 20 people. We're based in Ibadan. We're serving customers both locally in Oyo State, but also across Lagos and other states of Nigeria. We're the other scope of what Mrs. Folarinsha was describing, which is Haas is a much bigger and much broader company with a lot more backing from government, but we are on the other side of the startup. So we are probably in the same position as many people who are joining this call.
Thank you so much, Femi. Really, really appreciate that. I also want to lay maybe just this for the members of the audience. There is a chat box. I want this to be very engaging in terms of the questions and answers that that we could have. Please make use of the chat box in asking questions so that I could actually bring that to the members of the panel. But I would also love to lay down what the major areas of focus in our conversation today. Everybody knows that there are many challenges impeding financing agricultural growth in Africa. Whether we are talking in terms of the failures in the critical infrastructure, in terms of inadequate cold storage, unexpected disruption in commodities trading, lack of adequate feeder routes to production areas, and a lot of other major challenges. Even when we talk about the supply chain of critical inputs as well, whether in terms of fertilizer, seed, fuel, that remains a challenge. But despite all of these challenges, we have a number of people in the country that are overcoming them. So our conversation today, I want to really focus more on solutions to those challenges rather than more about the problem. How do we overcome it? What are the available opportunities? One of the things we took away from the previous episode of this webinar, there are so many opportunities and there are so many available solutions, but people don't know about some of those opportunities. So we want to use this platform to share as much information as possible for people to actually learn and collaborate and look at how to make best use of available opportunities. But before I have the first question, which I'm going to bring to Femi, I would love to, I think it's an honor having the MD here. Mrs. Folarinsha mentioned him earlier on. You might forgive me if I don't have all the salutations right. Mr. Mohamed Santuraki, I want to be able to recognize having you here. Are you there, sir? I'm trying to unmute you. I don't know whether. Hello, sir. Are you there, sir?
Can you hear me now? Yes, I am.
Yes, we could hear you now. Thank you so much for coming on board. We really, really appreciate having you on the webinar today, sir.
I don't know why Mrs. Following Shaw blew my cover. But I actually joined just to listen in. Perhaps a lot of us, we've had our voices have been heard so many times. So we also need fresh views so that we can improve the quality of the input into the whole discussions. I am not currently the MD. I am former MD, like she said. So I think you should correct that.
Okay, sir.
But it's good to be here, and I hope that we'll have a good time listening to you. I attended a seminar. You've done one before, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I attended that one, and it's quite interesting, especially because right now I'm also in the higher education sector. I'm the pro-chancellor and chairman of council of Niger State University. So it's good to be here, and let's have a good time. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor having you here. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Femi, I really want to bring the first question to you for us to actually, maybe delve a little bit into it. One of the major challenges I've seen among many of the farmers and even the players in the agribusiness in my own past interaction is lack of this idea of credit worthiness to be able to take advantage of financial opportunities that might be available. From your own perspective and from your own experience, what are the fundamental principles behind this idea of building credit worthiness? And please feel free to also share any of the practical experience you've had in this, and whether both in the positive or in the negative, for the members of our audience to learn from.
Okay, thank you very much, Cornelius. Maybe there's a theoretical basis to all this credit worthiness that majority of lenders would always have their credit committees, and they would want to assess the credit worthiness of different projects or different companies that approach them. So credit worthiness essentially is just, the probability that you default or the probability that you can pay back. So that's essentially what they try to analyze, and they have some parameters or metrics by which they analyze this. Some of those parameters would include, for example, capacity to repay in terms of cash flows, in terms of historical incomes, or what you've done before, but also in terms of existing obligations that you have and the experience you have to manage the business. So they want to see whether you have capacity to repay. Also, capital. Do you have skin in the game? What are the investments that you've made in the business itself? What are the assets you have on the table? So sort of capital, skin in the game that you have already in the ongoing enterprise or in the ongoing business. In addition, you're looking at conditions. So conditions of what are the terms, the prevailing conditions in the market, or based on the risk profile of whatever it's the project or the enterprise that you're trying to implement. So for example, the interest rate, which is pretty much beyond your control because it's essentially dependent on a number of factors, risk-free rates, et cetera, et cetera. And then you also have how much are you looking for, the principal amount, the repayment length, how soon can you pay it back. You're also looking at strength or weaknesses of the economy. If the economy is not doing so well, people are less optimistic about giving away their money, and therefore the conditions are very important based on that. Then the purpose of the loan. Are you going to be using the money to plant tomatoes? Are you using it to raise chickens? What's the demand for chickens? What's the demand for tomatoes? All these kind of things. And then the other one is character, which is ability. And that's where things like credit scoring and things like that come in. There's usually this belief that there's no credit scoring going on in Nigeria right now. There are players, for example, like a player called Social Lender, And I think the banks might want to be super interested in engaging them. Social Lender actually does some credit scoring for pretty much smallholder farmers and also people in the rural areas. They have a very interesting methodology that doesn't necessarily involve them having bank credit in the past, etc., which is something good that they can apply. In addition, you then have the almighty C, which is called the collateral, that a lot of people want to talk about. Equipment, account receivables, guarantees from either a guarantor, savings that you have, but also property, buildings, and things like that. That's usually like the theory of it. They talk about the five C's of creditworthiness. But the core really is that whoever is going to lend you money actually has multiple other people that they can either lend the money to, or they have other things they want to use the money for. So it's now up to whoever wants to access that capital to be able to justify to the lender that they are creditworthy. And that's it's a different ballgame. We have been super lucky that we've been able to secure funding across the different scopes. So from debt to equity to what they call a SAFE, which is a simple agreement for equity, but also grants as well. I think that in the beginning, businesses need to try to rely on easier sources of funding because typically they wouldn't have the credit history, or they wouldn't have the financials. They might not even have so much experience. So they need to rely on the easiest sources of funding. And we can discuss this later, from the friends, family, and foes to the grants, easier sources of funding, and also to their own personal income. If you can't put your own money in the game, I personally cannot lend you money. So,
thank you so much, Femi, for going there. I'm still going to bring you in later on to talk about those easier sources of funding, whether we're talking about equity, SAFE, grants, prizes, personal income, and all of that. But before then, I want to bring Mrs. Folorinsho. Last year, I had the opportunity to visit you in the office and review some of the programs of the Bank of Agriculture and how it could actually be of advantage to a lot of smallholder farmers. So can you just give us like a brief overview, sir, Ma, of how does BOA work? What kind of agribusiness does the Bank of Agriculture fund? And what are actually the basic requirements that need to be in place for anyone to access some of the Bank of Agricultural products, Bank of Agriculture products, in terms of different packages that you might have for any farmers that want to take advantage of those financial products?
Thank you, Doctor. BOA operates through three tiers, like I told you earlier. Our head office, the zonal offices, and the branches cutting across the entire country. And our services are mainly direct funding. We manage funding as professionals. We collaborate with states, individuals, big people, cooperatives, groups, villages. We have extended our hands to so many areas because we discover it's not just agri, but it's now agribusiness. There's so much in agriculture that we're trying to tap. Some of our products include micro lending, agri and non-agri, marketing. Then we came up with some programs for the youth. We call it YAN, Youth in Agriculture. We have for the women, GEM, Go and Earn More. Then recently the government, introduction of ABP, which we are fully engaged in. That's Anchor Borrowers program. We had the one called the AADS, Accelerated Agricultural Development Scheme, especially for the youth between the age of 18 and 35. Then we now brought in village funding, in which we fund entire village using all the machineries within that village, the ballers, the district head, and bringing everybody on board, because it's easier for us to reach them, to empower them, and to improve their lives. You say, what kind of business do we really do in fund? The primary production, input, supply, and purchase, processing to marketing and distribution, and the storage. And for you to be able to access BOA, fund, credit, apart from the what Mr. Femi listed earlier, that is the five characters of lending, the five C's of lending, the character, the capital, collateral, capacity, and conditions. We also have some basic requirements, like you must have like an account relationship with BOA. We provide two reputable guarantors if you want to go into micro loans, because they are not collateralized. And our micro loans, the bar is very small, and it aims at helping the farmers, the peasant farmers in the rural areas, to improve their lots. So we don't normally take collateral from them. Mainly it's you bring two reputable guarantors. Once you have that and all other things fall in place, you're good to go with BOA. Then your project must be viable, commercially viable, and capable of showing satisfactory return on investment. It must be economically desirable, and it must not be in conflict with any government policies or acts. And even for smallholders, we want to ensure that you can generate adequate funds to repay the loan in full and in accordance with the stipulated and agreed terms and conditions. Then the status of an applicant is also very important to us. Very, very important. Because an applicant must satisfy all our conditions, and we must ensure that you'll be able to manage the project successfully with sound mind, and we must judge your competence. Usually, we don't deal with anybody in proxy. If you remember when you came to my office, I told you the same. I said, I'm glad you are here yourself. We have been talking on phone. We don't do any business on proxy. And we will ensure that you have the power to repay. Then we have the collateralized loans, our SMEs. You must provide some security to enable us, you know, confirm that you are signed and you'll be able to return our money as our wage, and that you will contribute meaningfully to your environment and to the country at large. Such security includes a kind of mortgage property. Apart from the credible guarantors and the lien deposit that is required, because you must have some money with us to show that, and you must have been transacting some business as well to show that, yes, you can do it. You must have a kind of legal mortgage on the project, a kind of land or real property. Then in case it's a state government where we want to go into collaboration, we'll have what we call ISPO. Because the government must guarantee the loan, irrevocable, you know, standard pay order, which must be used to guarantee the loan. And then we also take something like stock and bonds from reputable companies, then endowment, insurance policies, and other guarantees. And then you talk about our interest rates. Our interest rate is usually in line with government policy. Like I told you earlier, this is a development finance bank owned by the federal government of Nigeria. So our interest rate goes with government policy from time to time. Our micro loan is 12%. Our non-agric micro loan is 20%. The SME is 14%. And our marketing loan is 20%. But in all this, is all at a reducing balance. Reducing balance. At any point in time, you liquidate a loan, that is the interest you are bound to pay. It is only when your loan is in default that we have a default charge of 2%. Then the collaboration depends on terms and agreements. We go into collaboration with different cooperative societies, organizations, state governments, individuals that are well to do in the society, or they want to help their area, they want to help their people, they come around and they, you know, we sit down and discuss in terms. It depends on the level of agreement with the collaborating parties. And the interest, it's interesting to know that the interest is also agreed upon with that party. And everything is on reducing. Thank you.
Thank you so much, man. I really, really appreciate you going to that details. But I will still bring you in before I bring Femi back in to talk a little bit more about the easier sources of funding. So, Ma, I want to describe the situation. I want to make this very practical, especially for a lot of young people that we have on the webinar. I've been working with a number of young graduates, people that just want to go into agribusiness, that maybe do not have so much history in terms of whether past history in terms of their transactions, or does not have so much of collateral. So I want to delve in a little bit more on the micro loan that you talk about, the microfinance part of it. So I'm a young graduate. I want to go into vegetable production. I've been opportune to have access to maybe about half an acre that I want to use for this. And I want to take advantage of the Bank of Agriculture products, especially the microfinance one. What are the process? What are the steps? What and what do I need to do? And what need to be in place for me to be to be able to take advantage of this very particular product, man?
Yes, thank you. Like I said earlier, all that needed to be to first we establish your relationship with BOA. It's very, very key. We need to know you. The KYC is tool and a means of inculcating banking habit in anybody. You must first of all open an account, run it for at least a month. Usually it's 3 months we run our account before you can access our loan. But we have reduced it to just 1 month now so that more people can come into the bank and people can go into agriculture. So for a young man who wants to go into micro lending, open an account with us. We will introduce you to the different types of micro lending that we have. There are different types. Like I mentioned earlier, we have even marketing. We have GEM. We have YAN. That's youth in agricultural revolution. So for somebody like you, now you can go into the YAN, youth in agriculture, and you can access up to the 1 million naira. That is the maximum. That's the ceiling. But the issue is you must have reputable guarantor, two of them, who will say, in case this young man did not pay, we will pay you your money. It's very, very key. We want that because we are not collecting any collateral in that. So you must go open an account with any of my branches closest to where your project is. It's very important because of monitoring. Within 25-kilometer radius, we have a branch around you. Then you go there, open an account, maintain that relationship, get all the details, assessment, they will visit you and whatever, and you're good to go. But the key is there must be two guarantors. We even prefer civil servant guarantors. But in case you cannot get two civil servant guarantors, there must be one that is a civil servant with regular salary earning. Then the other one can be a businessman standing in the society. It can even be the barley of your village, can be the district head, somebody reputable who can say, look, this guy will not run away. Because that has been some of our challenges. So you can borrow from as much as 1 million on the yen. And if it's the other small micro, the ceiling is 250,000. We are trying to raise the bar now, considering what is happening in the country now and the inflationary rate. So we want to raise the bar of that micro loan from 250. It used to be 250, but now it's we're trying to raise it. But you can take as much as 1 million to finance that. But the key thing is we're going to assess your project. And then we'll be able to determine what you can take to finance it vis-a-vis what you have on grant. That is very key. You're applying for 1 million does not mean we must give you 1 million. Assessments, visibility studies will determine what we are going to give you. It's very key. And should there be any other person who you think can guarantee you, apart from this one that we have listed, you are free to bring the person on board. We will check through the person's account, because there are so many things the person will give us. We will check. We check your name, and with BVN now, we can assess anybody online. So please, young men are welcome. Young women are welcome. The youths, the adults, anybody in agri. We want to improve it in Nigeria. We want to improve agriculture in Nigeria. We want to contribute meaningfully to the growth and development of Nigeria economy. Thank you, Doctor.
Thank you so much, Ma. I'm taking notes here, because at the end of this webinar, we're going to be giving like a summary of it, apart from the audio recording that we're going to share with people within our network. Just to confirm, the yen, a young person is a non-collateral loan, microloan, actually loan now, this is more than microloan, can allow a very young person to access as much as 1 million naira.
That's the bar.
But there are other products like the microloan or like the GEM, which currently have a ceiling of about 250,000. Is that very correct, Ma?
No. The GEM, you can also take as much as a million. Yan and GEM. The yan is generally for all the youth within the age of 18 and 35.
Okay.
While the GEM is specifically for the women. Like you can see in this, in the picture at the background here, is a woman there. Somebody like that can take our gem conveniently, because you can see her handwork, you can see her farm. We will go there, assess it, look at what she can do, look at how much she's earning, and then we'll draw a kind of cash flow to see how it flows on daily basis, on monthly basis. And then based on that, we'll project what she can earn and give her. It may not necessarily be 1 million. The 1 million I said is the bar. She can take anything downward like that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that clarification, man. I really, really appreciate that. There are opportunities there. It's more about having access to it, having the character to uphold it, and then going out there to actually put in the best hard work, honesty, that are very crucial for it. But I want to bring Femi back in terms of even to expand our conversation about the startup. Young people that have ideas, that have energy, and have the character, that there are other easier sources of funding, even aside from loan, that are possible. Your story, Femi, basically demonstrates this. You've had experience in various, on this different one, whether from in terms of the equity or in terms of save grants and even some prizes. I'm wondering if you could go a little bit in depth in explaining some of these easier sources of funding. So to say, what are the critical skill set that a young person needs to actually learn to be able to take advantage of this? What are the kind of the characters? What are the different kind of things that need to be in place for one to be able to take advantage of these other sources of funding? Femi, you are muted. Okay, yeah. Oh, great. Yes.
So permit me to share my screen. I have this little slide that actually gives us a picture of multiple sources of funding. Maybe I should start from the characteristics or the preparations that are needed. So on this slide, you see cost, so which is pretty much like the cost of the capital, and you see the size of the funding that is possible. You would see, for example, debt. So you see, for example, bank loans, pretty much high cost. but the size could be a little bit less prohibitive. So you can see 1 million naira. You can, I think you heard from Bank of Agriculture, Mrs. Folorunsha. You could access, and they could actually extend this if you're doing better. I believe they would be able to extend this. But in general, the largest sources of capital that are available are with people they call private equity and traditional venture capital firms. So you would see, for example, for people who follow international news, you would hear about companies raising $300 million, billions of dollars, etc. So those are the people who can provide that size of funding, but the cost is high because equity is actually super expensive. So the cost of capital for equity is usually very, very expensive. And then when you start going towards debt, you can have much lower cost. So you see financing at 12%, which is actually quite nice. I think I've heard about 9% in some places, which is pretty nice, right? So there's different sources. You could have grants, for example. These are grants. I think there used to be the UWIN during the last administration. This administration, I think there were some other grants that were advertised and that people benefited from. You have competitions, which are like events where people go and sort of pitch their businesses. I think some banks actually did some competitions recently. But there are some sources of funding that people actually overlook. For example, customers. For people who run e-commerce, for example, one of the major advantages of e-commerce is that your customers are actually financing you ahead. They are paying for goods that you've not actually sold to them, that you've not given to them. So they are financing you ahead. If you're able to secure a pretty decent deal with large buyers, you could actually get them to pay you ahead. If you're decent enough in your conversations, you're able to prove credibility, they could actually pay you ahead for work that you are supposed to execute for them. You have that in contracting, you have that in agriculture as well, where you could have some prepayments, which is like a commissioning, especially when such production is structured like a project. And then you have other sources. You have accelerators for people who want to see agribusiness and not just agriculture. There are accelerators, especially when you have technology as a component of your business. The accelerators that can provide some of the funding. I think it's also important for the founders to have some skin in the game. If you don't have your skin in the game, and I think Mrs. Folorunsha was saying it, that they would actually visit your farm and they would see what you have on the farm, and then they would project what your potential cash flows could be. So this is important, because if you don't have anything on ground, if I give you my money, I'm not sure that you're going to have anything on ground anyway. So I think another model that has been popular of late has been crowdfunding. So you have the likes of Farm Crowdy, Thrive Agric, etc., who are doing crowdfunding and doing it very well. And these people are actually, they've brought in a new dimension to funding businesses. It's working for agriculture. There are a lot of challenges along the way and a lot of sad stories as well. But that's also another alternative. That's also another option. There's corporate funding, which is a company, for example, like Food Locker. We do that actually. If we do have some farmers that we pre-qualify and that we sort of assess, so we have our own assessment criteria. It's usually not just inspection for us. It's actually purchase. We buy things from you. We start buying your products from day one, and therefore we build a credit history for you, which then means that when we are ready to finance you, we are financing you because we already know that you can perform. So that there is that option, and I can talk about it much later during this presentation. There are family and friends. I think in Africa, we're pretty much very generous. We're pretty much believing, but not just Africa, right? Like, a lot of people don't know that when Amazon was going to start, Jeff Bezos actually got some funding from his parents. I think it was about $350,000 that he got. Of course, his parents must have been rich to have been able to give him $350,000. But the whole idea still remains that you still have some family and friends, and which is also why we should not break that link, or we should not break that trust chain. There is a trust chain. There is a that there are people within our networks who can actually help us to float businesses. But if the last time you collected money from them, you didn't return it, you're going to have problems in the future because they're not going to believe you. So that's also one of the. So this slide pretty much gives us a picture. But just to conclude, the core requirement or what we need to be able to raise money is actually for us to actually go in and go and do the real business and do them well. There's this huge sort of business model, I'll call it, but it's not really a business model, of people they call the grantopreneurs. So these are people that are just applying for grants everywhere. They have fancy presentation slides. They'll have fancy business models. They'll have fancy. But when you dig deep and you go and find out, okay, do you actually produce the chicken? No. Do you actually produce the vegetables? No. You said you have the software. Do you really have it? No. So you'd find some of those issues also around it. It's really about those five C's. By the time you dive deep, you're going to find one of those C's in which people are not complying with.
Wow, thank you so much. I'm going to maybe challenge a little bit more on that as well. What skill set do you think young people need to acquire to be able to take advantage of some of this, especially in those other sources of income like grant, like prize, or even if you want to make a case for equity funding and all of that? What are the kind of skill sets that are still very crucial for anyone to take advantage of those opportunities? Femi, what are the kind of skill sets that you, let's make it a practical. What are the kind of skill sets that you have acquired that have helped you take advantage of some of those opportunities?
All right, thank you very much. So I think I always advise anybody, if you want to go into business, go and learn about business. Mm. I think everybody who wants to go into business needs to go and learn accounting. If you don't know accounting, at least the basics of accounting. So there are different levels of accounting, right? But at least the basics. You should be able to understand the difference between a revenue and a cost of goods sold. You should be able to understand what is cash flow. That cash flow is not the same as profit. You should be able to understand that when you buy a machinery or you buy a tractor, of course, if you can afford it, you should be able to know that it is not at an expense. It is capex, right? Understanding accounting, I think, is the fundamental requirement. There are so many other things people can add, right? If you're going to be doing agriculture, you need to know about the agriculture. I believe a lot of us, because we went to school, we always believe that we don't need to do any kind of apprenticeship. I think agriculture is an apprenticeship. You need to understudy somebody. You need to understand the good agricultural practices. What do I need to do from day to day for my tomatoes to come out right? What do I need to do from day to day for my poultry birds to come out right? When do I need to vaccinate them? So understanding, so I'm saying more technical knowledge about that particular production activity that you need to do. Super, super critical. In addition, you also need to understand, and this is unfortunate because of our kind of educational system in Nigeria, we're not trained to collaborate. And this is a big problem for a lot of our young people, including, you know, people like myself. We're not trained to collaborate. So, which means that we're always lone wolves. You'll be the only one. You probably feel you have some exclusive secrets about what you're doing, and therefore you don't want to share it with other people. Unfortunately, they also have other secrets that they could share with you that could be beneficial. So I think these three, for me, are like core fundamentals. A lot of other things could be added, like your ability to make a presentation, communication. How do you communicate your business idea in less than 50 words? You meet somebody on the way, maybe you meet Mrs. Folorosho, and you just want to pitch her about your business. How can you do that in 1 minute? Some of these things can be taught, right? But I think the more long-term things are understanding the language of business, which is accounting, having technical depth in the things that you want to do. And it doesn't even have to be you, right? It could be a partner of yours. with whom you have a relationship, and you're saying you're building this agri business together. Therefore, the person could be a technical partner while you are a business partner who understands the language of business. Yeah, you know, a lot of things are possible. So that collaboration effort is the most critical, because if you cannot collaborate, if you don't understand customers, if you cannot understand the priorities that your customers and your ecosystem has, you're going to struggle a lot, because business is really about collaboration.
Wow, Femi, thank you for sharing that. I want to summarize that a little bit, so that especially maybe we have people coming in and all of that. It's critical. Before I do that, this might be maybe like an announcement or so. Over the previous episode, we've been talking about the concept of Agribusiness Masterclass that is being developed by Washington State University in collaboration with Osun State University and a number of other entrepreneurs all across Nigeria. And the idea of this Agribusiness Masterclass is exactly some of the issues that Femi has mentioned earlier on. At the end of this meeting, I'm going to share link with people that are here and others that might be interested in that. But because I think Femi touched on very important part that is essential to be part of our educational systems, that is essential to realize the kind of agricultural development that our country dearly needs. Number one, you need to understand the language of business. Learn it. It's not something that is only peculiar to people that study accounting or financial management. It's something that anybody that wants to go into business needs to learn. What are the basics of accounting? What are the communication skills and all of that? Number two, invest in the technical knowledge about the field. That includes the possibility of internship. That includes the possibility of taking time to learn the craft of that business. And that takes time. And that takes getting out of this idea of expecting something to happen very fast. So having the patience to learn is very, very important in order to develop the kind of business that can be here in the next 5, 10, 15 years. Number three that Femi mentioned is learning how to collaborate, how to work with other people, how to work in team. Getting ahead of this bubble of me, I, and myself, it's essential. Business is not done in isolations. It happens in team. It happens in working with other people. And I think the last thing there that Femi mentioned is the idea of communication, which also even piggyback into the idea of the language of business. Learn how to communicate your idea. It's a skill set, whether it's in terms of learning how to develop the PowerPoint, whether it's learning how to develop the case studies for your business, whether it's learning how to develop, you know, even messaging your business and all of that. These are critical skill sets that is essential for anyone to acquire in order to take advantage of a lot of these easier sources of funding that young people in the country can take advantage of. Whether even we are talking about loan and all of that, like Mrs. Folonsho was talking earlier on, it's important to have these skills and have ability to back them up. So that brings me back to one of the questions I want us to maybe delve a little bit deeper into. I want to bring Mrs. Folonsho a little bit back here. Financial lending to smallholder farmers is generally perceived as a high-risk one. I have some of my own personal theories why this, but I want to ask you first, Ma. So I'm sure from your experience, you can tell of different stories of maybe cases of default among smallholder farmers. The question is, what is driving this? What are the major factors that could drive this? What are the major factors that could lead to a situation whereby there is default among farmers, or so to say? But maybe more importantly, how can we improve the quality of credit products for farmers? So I'm not sure if the question is clear, Ma.
Yes, I get it. How can we improve the Maybe repeat it again.
So generally, there is this perception that lending to farmers is very risky. And there are many factors that, in my own opinion, contribute to that. I have my own theory, but I want to hear from you first. What are the factors that contribute to this? But more importantly now, what can we do to reduce the risk? What can we do to improve the quality of credit products? So maybe some of the things you've done, you could also maybe touch on some of your experiences in the past and what were you able to do to solve the situation, to ensure that there is low default rate among the people that you are lending to?
Okay. Thank you, Doctor. You say, like you said, lending to farmers is risky, very, very accepted. Anything that Greek is very risky. We must all understand that. But you see, there must be some things put in place to guide against the losses. From our experience, one of the reasons why there are losses in some of our finances is because, one, lack of training. Lack of training is very important. Before you can go to anything agri, it's very important that you know that business very well. It's important that you understand the rudiments. It's important that you know what it entails. Without that, it's going to be difficult even when you enter. Agri is risky. Then another thing is that majority of the people hurriedly go into agri without studying the nature of what they want to do, and they are not patient enough. Agriculture requires patience. If you must make profit in agri, you must be dedicated, you must be committed. There must be a high level of commitment before you can succeed. It's not like going to the market, selling, and making gain. No, agri is not like that. You must be able to study it, understand it, be ready to be there. Stay for inspection, monitoring. Don't give it to somebody. That is one of the problems we have. Some people will take a loan with all honesty, visibility studies okay, everything fine. By the time they go into the practicality of it, they hand it over to somebody to manage. It will all finish before they know it. Because nobody can be like you when it comes to agri. And it's like any other business. Nobody can be like you. You must understand the peculiarity of agriculture. The weather vagaries, different conditions affect agri, diseases, so many things, especially those into poultry, anything can change. The fowls can be very good today. Tomorrow, anything can happen. You must understand the rudiment. You must be able to know that in poultry, these are the kind of diseases that can affect my birds. And you must have some precautions. You must have taken some kind of precautionary motive to guide against it. A lot of our youth, they don't understand that. Majority of farmers don't understand that. Most of our farmers are aging. They refuse to change from the normal peasant style that they have been practicing. It's very, very difficult for us. Some of them, when they take this loan, they divert it. Diversion of the loan makes it very difficult. It will look rosy when you are giving them. Everything will be fine. Go for a next monitoring visit a week or two. You discover that the man is no longer there. What he planted on the farm, he has abandoned it. They don't know the appropriate time to weed. They don't know the appropriate time to put the insecticide. They don't know the appropriate time to put fertilizer. So training is key to avoid some of these losses. Training is very, very key. And POA on our own, we have started doing it. Sometimes if it's a whole lot of group or a cooperative, we bring them together. What exactly do you want to do? We encourage them to take a particular product and do cluster farming. When you are in one place, it's easier for everybody to see it, to manage, to understand what is going on. Then we trade them. Like we had the snail farmers sometimes back. We trained them. We talked to them. We called professionals. Plus the professionals in-house, we talked to them. Then we had the sheep and goat farmers sometimes back too. We did the same thing. And so on. We had the ugu farmers sometimes back. We did the same thing. So it's always, you know, good to have them trained. There are so many things attached to agri. Is it the weather you want to talk about? Is it the kind of outbreak of disease sometimes that you want to talk about? Or is it the theft? Is it the terrorism aspect, the insecurity aspect of it? So many things make agri very risky. It is our dedication that will make it work. Our commitment will make it work. Agriculture is not just agri now. It's agribusiness. It's a whole-time business, just like any other. People do it for part-time. No. A lot comes out from agri. You can be extremely rich if you are dedicated to farming. It's very, very profitable. People should understand that. The youth should know that. Agri is profitable at all times. It is the manner and ways in which we carry it about. Then how can we reduce the risk element? I've mentioned a few of them. We monitor closely. We ensure we train you. We interview you to be able to understand that you know what you want to go into. Then we go and do the feasibility studies. We do assessment with you. We go to your farm. We look at it. We have professionals in different fields. They will go there, assess it, look at what you are doing, advise you that, look, this is not right, this is the right thing. And that is the essence of monitoring at every time. 2 weeks, 1 month. Two. So that even when you are derailing, we can call your attention to it. Each time we go for monitoring, we make sure professionals, somebody will be able to advise you in the right direction is there. If you're supposed to be harvesting and you are not harvesting, we tell you the implication. If you are not supposed to harvest and you have started removing the corn when it's not yet time, we tell you the implications. We tell you what to apply at every particular point in time. And again, we alert the guarantor when you are derailing. That's the essence of the guarantor now. Just to reduce some of the problems on the way, we alert the guarantors. We say, look, you guarantee Mr. So-so-so or Mrs. So-so-so-so. This is what we have noticed on the farm. This is what is happening on the farm. Should there be anything, this is what is going to happen. He won't be able to pay back and will bounce on you. What do you think? So we do so many talking with when we give somebody the loan. And again, another thing we do is the group, especially if it's a group, it's easier for us to advise each other. When we visit them and we discover one farm is doing well, better than the other, we say, look, can you please advise your member? This is what we notice on his own farm. Can you please do this? Can you please do this? And it's helping us too. And then the village funding that I said earlier that we have gone into is easy because it involves the entire village. Nobody runs away. Nobody disappears. Everybody knows who is who in that village. So it helps us to reduce the risk greatly. Greatly. Because some of the problem we go into is sometimes when you give somebody loan, immediately they collect the money, they change their address, making it difficult, especially the marketing loan, making it difficult for you to trace the person. But thank God now that we have the BVN and telephone is working too. But you know, it's easy, you can change your SIM. You can go in for another one. That is what government has not been able to control. People can throw away their SIM and take another one so that you will not be able to locate them. Well, with BVN, I think a lot is being done now. Even the big ones that take our big loans, we trace them through the BVN now. We go into their other accounts. We talk to CBN. We report them so that they can pass on their other accounts to recover our loan for us. Those are some of the extent to which we have gone. And then another thing is when we give somebody loan again, we make sure we know your family. We socialize very well so that they will know that you have a relationship with BOA. So that when the chiefs are done, nobody denies it. We socialize, we attend club meetings, we attend their, you know, club activities, end of the year party, whatever they are doing, village meetings, we have free on the ground. We make sure we go in, we flow with our customers to reduce the losses. We flow with our customers to reduce the losses. A lot is happening now, and a lot of changes is taking place in BOA, which from time to time you will be seeing it. Thank you, Doctor. I hope I've been able to address.
Oh, no, I really appreciate the in-depth conversation on it, Ma. It's so important. Maybe just to wrap that up a little bit more. Number one, if you want to go, you want to be able to have access to funding and financing for your small farms or for agribusiness. Number one, you got to invest in training. You have to know the business, the rudimentary, which is similar also to what Femi also was talking about in terms of the technical knowledge about the business. Number two, agriculture requires patience and dedication. It's true that you can actually build any agribusiness that is worth it at the end of the day. Number two, agribusiness is not something that you just do in part time. You need to be able to invest your own time and monitor it by yourself. So we really, really appreciate that, Ma. I have some follow-up questions on that. But before then, I want to be able to take questions from the audience. There's a number of questions here that have been coming. Some of them have been answered just so that people feel that, know that we're actually paying attention to that. I think the first question here came from Okala Onlekan Jolayemi, asking, is it possible to know the range of the microloan and what is the length of time to redeem the loan? I think we mentioned that the YAA loan, it's capped at 1 million, so which means whether it's 50,000 or 10,000, and it's capped at 1 million. The GM also at the same range, the microloan also capped at 250. But the question there is the time for the to redeem the loan. I think I'm going to pose that to Mrs. Fola Onshaw to be able to answer that. The next question came from Fisayo Obadare. There's a young graduate who wants to go into poultry but lacks capital and family support. What can this person do considering passion agriculture, how to access loan? I think this question has been answered too. Number one, invest in the knowledge. I'm sure there are a number of people that are willing to take you as an intern. In the process, that opens so many opportunities to you. And there are even some starters known right now that have been talked about here that you should, at least if you want to access something as much as 100,000, 150,000, 200,000, you should have at least 2-3 people that believes in you, people with high standing in the society, which is the basic requirement that I've been talking about today. So yeah, there are opportunities for you, even if you don't have, if you don't come from a very rich family. As long as you have that hard work, integrity, and trust, there are opportunities for you. There is another question also from Mr. Jolayemi as well, looking at the level of education of most farmers in Nigeria and the criteria for assessing this loan. How feasible do an average local farmer get any of this loan? I'm going to leave that question a little bit also to Mrs. Fola Onshaw to be able to answer briefly as well. I think this next question that comes from Irewole Temitayo, it's directed to Femi, if I could guess. Then the question is, how do you solve the possible conflicting and collaboration in agribusiness? I'm going to allow Femi to maybe speak a little bit into that as well. Femi has already actually answered that, but I would love also if other people can benefit, if Femi could talk a little bit more about that so that other people can also benefit from your response, Femi. The next question from Osunke Yolumuyiwa. The person asked the question, and this is for Mrs. Fola Onshaw. Is it true that banks do not officially give loan to peak farmers? Please clarify. So let me call Mrs. Fola Onshaw to first maybe help address some of these simple questions. I don't know if you want me to repeat the question, Ma, or maybe you have them.
Please do.
The first question. The first question. Does BOA fund pig farmers?
Yes, we do. Straight. Let me be answering you direct. Yes, we do. We have many of them. We have many of them across Southwest. So you're free to come in anytime.
Yeah. So, Mr. Oshunka, here you have your answer. The next question there come from, let me see if I can remember now. Okay, how long does it take to start redeeming this loan in terms of whether we are talking about YHA or the gym or the micro loan? What is the length of time to redeem the loan?
Yes, our micro loan, you know, like I told you, it depends on the assessment. It could be 6 months. It depends on what you want to key into. It could be 6 months, it could be 1 year. But the maximum of our micro loan is 1 year. Then our SME, it's the maximum is 3 years. Our YAN is 1 year. Our GEM is 1 year.
Okay. That's good. SME is maximum of 3 years. I think the other one is maximum of 1 year. I think the next question here as well, what support is given by the bank to mitigate loss from diseases and harvest wasted due to low patronage? Does the bank support? I think I'm going to bring this question to another question.
I think I can even help because I forget to mention that we insure every project in BOA, every project. So once you are insured, whatever happens, NAHIC, we offset. We have succeeded in that. We are partners with NAHIC. Anytime we are into a problem like that with any of our farmers, they will go and assess it. The important thing is immediately you have this problem, take a picture, report it urgently. They will come over, assess the loss, and then you will be redeemed.
I would love to expatiate on that. I actually have that as one of the questions here, that what is the role of agricultural insurance in the agricultural financing? But the way you mention it now, so the NAHIC insurance is an automatic part of the loan application with BOA. Is that the correct summary of what I'm picking up from your response, ma'am?
You said what I have is what?
The insurance from the NAHIC, for those people that don't know many of NAHIC, that's
Nigerian Insurance Corporation. Yes.
That is an automatic part of any loan that is being provided by Bank of Agriculture. Is that correct, ma'am?
It is. You just have to be insured. Because, you know, agri is very risky, like we stated earlier. We insure every bit of loans that we give. Any financial activity we do, we insure it. We make sure we do that. We package all our loans with insurance because you can never tell what happens tomorrow. We can never tell.
Yeah.
It's unpredictable. It could be weather. It could be anything. The only thing that NAHIC does not finance is terrorism. They don't finance terrorism. You cannot come and say, Fulani herdsmen attack your farm. No, it's not part of their coverage.
I see. It's good to know that. There are a number of questions here, but I want to bring Femi here to answer the question on the collaboration part before we come back to Mrs. Folorinshaw. Femi, I know you've already answered here, but I would love maybe for other people to benefit from your response as well.
Okay, so the question was, how do we solve possible conflicts in collaboration in agribusiness? So I think it's the same way we solve conflicts in collaboration in every other kind of business. First is you have to select whom you are collaborating with very, very carefully. So I used to have a secondary school mate. We knew each other before. He was a very good friend. Now we are starting agribusiness together. No. A whole lot of other things. You need to understand what are they bringing to the table. Any kind of business requires a lot of effort. It requires a lot of long-term orientation. Not everybody has the capacity and the ability to go through the pain of building something from scratch. So if you're going to collaborate with somebody, you had better be sure that you know that that person is in it for the long term. If they're not in it for the long term, if they're going to bail out on you somewhere along the line, just forget it. It's better not to start. So I think business collaborations are like marriages. It's the same for investors as well. They're like marriages, right? You're getting married with somebody whose attitude and attributes you've not studied. You don't know them. You don't know how they want to work. It's most likely going to end in tears. In addition, is also the fact that it's important to have agreements. Write everything down. Make sure everything is written down. Who's going to get 10% equity or who's going to get 5% equity? Who's going to get this amount of profit? You are going to bring in the partners. I am going to sell. I'm going to produce. Everything should be written down so that everybody understands what are their roles, what are their responsibilities, and what are their benefits. Also, it's also important to have a means of arbitration. So if things go bad, how are you going to solve the conflict? Do you have maybe a pastor or a village head or a big brother that both of you defer to who can help you just wade into the matter and resolve it? Or do you want to go to the court, which is definitely not something nobody wants to go into. In addition, if money is involved, make sure that your money is virtual. Don't keep cash. So do as best as you can to avoid cash. If you can avoid cash transactions, pay all your suppliers through electronic means, get all your revenues through money transfer. If that is possible, that is the best way. And make sure that that account or whatever has to be co-signed by two people. So if you're going to pay somebody, it's difficult to issue checks now because of the processing and all the issues. But to ensure that your money is protected, keep it virtual. And make sure that, you know, both parties co-sign. And then ensure that you have risk mitigation methods such that somebody's actions or inactions do not jeopardize your long-term future. So if you are in it for the long term and they are in it for the short term, make sure, right, that you have a third party who can come in when they choose to bail out. You don't want to have a key man risk or a key party risk jeopardizing your long-term objective. So always have options. I think those are practical methods that work. Don't give anybody money from your capital. Whether they're a partner or not, if they're going to collect money, let it be their salary or whatever it is you've agreed to pay them. If they want to have access to capital, a lot of people do a lot of funny things. They can marry a new wife, buy a car with company capital. Make sure that everything is properly documented. Nobody takes away capital for personal benefit. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Femi, for going into details with that. So, I don't know whether everybody is taking notes, but I want to be able to summarize that a little bit more. Number one, you got to know each other. Date each other a little bit. Well, not in terms of get to know one another so that you know the compatibility of whoever you want to collaborate with. Let everything be written down. Have an agreement on everything. Ownership, work expectation, and everything that is expected. Have it written down. Number three, have a means of arbitration. Somebody, both of you, expect that can help you resolve conflict. Number four, avoid cash transaction by all means. Rely on virtual transaction as much as possible. Number five, co-signing account. It's part of, it's just check and balances. It's a rule of life. It's important. Number six, have risk mitigation method in place from the beginning. It's always, you'll be grateful for it whenever something unplanned or negative, whatever it is, happens. Number seven, don't give anybody money from the capital. Develop a structure, whether it's a salary, whatever it's going to look like, but don't dip your hands into the capital. I want to come back to some of the questions that are coming up here because we are running towards the last lap of the webinar now. Somebody asked a question, Oreoluwa Omoduba, that does BOA gives loan to the fish farmers? I will just answer that on behalf of Mrs. Fodonsho. Yes. the second question, running an account with BOA for a month before giving out a loan, does that mean you have to make some savings with them? Can you expatiate a little bit more on that?
Yeah, okay. You have to. for you to run, be, to have a relationship with us, like Femi said earlier, KYC is very, very important. You have to run your account. We must know that you are truly serious. You cannot just come, open the account, dump some amount, disappear, then one day you say, I want to take loan. We will not do that. You must be a partner. We must know you. We must establish a relationship. We will visit you, know your house, know your, where you farm, whatever. We are already friends. Once you enter BOA, you are our friend. We are farmer's friend. And we'll make sure you smile out. So that is key. You must be putting money, whatever business you are doing, transact with us. Send it into our account daily, weekly, whatever means. Let us know that you are capable. Let us know that you're worth it. Let us know that you have some character. That's the essence.
Yeah, I would love to expatiate a little bit on that, Ma. What of situation whereby, let me give you examples now. My firm is in Elora, and I'm guessing the closest branch of the Bank of Agriculture to Elora is in Ibadan. Oh, I might be wrong. You can correct me. I'm just using that as an example. What if there is a distance in terms of getting to the bank and do the transaction from time to time? Is there something like an online, or can I deposit through? How easy it is for one in terms of the transaction with the Bank of Agriculture?
Okay. Yes, we made some arrangement with our customers. When we know you are in a very far place, like I told you, we have some cash centers that we have in different places. So you can access that cash centers, give them the deposit, or you tell them when to come. We go to our customers from time to time. And then with the online activities, I must tell you the truth. For BOA, we have not gotten it right. For now, it's only our state capitals that are online. Some of our village centers are not online. But what we do is that we have vehicles, we have staff. They move daily. We have marketing staff who move daily. So depending on what the customer wants, we will be there. Then we go with POS. We go with, you know, so that as much as possible, not much cash changes, you know. So we move to our customer's base most of the time. For those that are in the market, that I'm talking to you now, if it's Ibadan, the staff in the Agodi branch, they're already in the market, talking to their customer, collecting funds and depositing, doing some, you know, banking activities within the short period. We have tried to make it easy for our customers as much as we can. And people have been tolerating us. But we are hoping for progress. We are opening more. And we are trying to be online for everybody so that BOA can be reckoned.
Yeah. Thank you so much on that. Before I bring Femi back, maybe for one more question, I want to take Mr. Richard Oladipo's question. He was asking a question about the possibility of intersection between Bank of Agriculture and the NYSA program. That does BOA work with the NYSA, or is there an intersection between the mandate, or they're just separate and there is no intersection at all?
Well, we work with NYSA. They are supposed to be de-risking agri business. Anything agri, they de-risk. You understand? That is their role. So in that aspect, we work with them. Whatever loan we process, they de-risk it. So we send it to them. There is a kind of policy assignment that we do. Paper, whatever that is needed to be paid. At least 75% of it, they de-risk. So that in case there's a problem in future, we fall back on them and they assist in, you know, offsetting part of them. Our roles do not really intersect, because that is their specific role. They are into sharing of risk. We are into agric, real agric. We are the real agric bank in Nigeria. Their role is to risk. But recently, they are diverting. I cannot speak for them. I can speak for BOA. BOA is still Bank of Agric, and will remain the only Bank of Agric in Nigeria.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ma. I really, really appreciate you going to details about some of the operations and how people can actually take advantage of different things. Some people are asking questions about the recordings of this webinar. Yes, we're going to make it available to people. Just make sure that you had farmweller@gmail.com into your mail list so that when it comes, it won't go into maybe the spam box or so. I want to give advantage for anybody that is interested in any other questions before I ask maybe my concluding questions to my members of the panel. This is the opportunity now to ask any question that you might have before we close this webinar today. So Femi, you've given a lot of advice today. We really, really appreciate you sharing your stories and your experience and all of that. So in terms of rounding up the conversation and all of that, what would be your advice for a typical young person now that want to go into agribusiness, that want to start an agribusiness? What would be the summary of your advice of what they should focus on how they grow their business, or whether in terms of the finance, or whether in terms of, what would be your, I would call it my like, the moment of truth that you can give? You know, everybody wants your info in one way or another. Let's say you are now having the opportunity to speak to hundreds of them at the same time. What would be your advice?
A great question. I had this one slide which I wanted to share earlier, and I think that advice is actually the biggest problem of agribusiness is not funding. The biggest problem is demand.
I agree.
So ultimately, the whole issue really lies around understanding demand and demand pattern. So somebody says, oh, I'm a young graduate. I want to go into agriculture. What type of agriculture? I want to go into fish farming. Which kind of fish farming? Do you know the demand and supply patterns of this fish farming? I always give this example that over 80% of the fish produced in Nigeria is catfish. Less than 20% is tilapia fish. 1 kilogram of catfish probably fetches you, I don't know, 300-350 naira per kilogram. 1 kilogram of tilapia fish fetches you over 1,000. Of course, the production methods are different, the production environments and the costs are different, but you have to choose, right? Are you going for the mass market or for the world they call the red ocean, or do you want to go for the blue ocean? It's really up to you, right? Everybody's producing. There was a glut in chicken production recently, but the farmers that were dealing, for example, with Food Locker did not have any kind of glut situation. They were still able to sell because we had already understood that demand on their behalf, and we were giving them that demand information on a periodic basis. So that meant they were clear about what they needed to produce without having to suffer the same fate as other people were suffering. So I would say probably my key take, my key gift to everybody on this webinar is to kindly go to foodlocker.africa. And for as many people who are farmers or who are people who have expertise in particular value chains, so it could be production management, it could be management of farmers on the field, please go on foodlocker.africa and sign up. Because we have a scheme that essentially allows us to support a large number of smallholder farmers, not only with funding, but also with expert advisory, as well as interpretation of demand. There is demand. We have a population of over 200 million. Of course, the data is out that only about 30 million of us have the capacity to spend But in general, there is demand for food in Nigeria. And that is the exciting thing about this agribusiness space. There's a lot of demand for food. If you're doing cotton, there's a lot of demand for textiles. If you can, of course, we need the textile industries. But essentially, there is demand. This is a recession-proof industry. But it has to be done right, which is where we then provide sort of that interface with understanding demand and being able to give farmers and players in that space demand information. We have this very decent technology that allows us to be able to support a large number of smallholder farmers remotely. They don't need to access the internet or anything, but they will get expert advice every day. You'll get access to input suppliers. You'll get access to farmers, other farmers within their clusters with whom they can share experience. They'll get access to scientific production methods, soil testing, agronomy, understanding what they need to do in terms of good agricultural practices on a day-to-day basis. And the final objective of this is to ensure that when they produce, they can sell everything with almost no wastage at all. We've experimented with this very effectively and we've gotten good results. So it's important to belong to networks, and FoodLocker is one of those networks, foodlocker.africa. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. Before I bring in Mrs. Folorunsho for the concluding part of this webinar, I want to talk about two, three things. Number one, we've talked about this before. One of the things that we're doing through the collaboration with a lot of organizations is this idea of building and having access to information and skill sets for a number of people that are interested in developing their skill level as far as agriculture is concerned. So right now, we are launching what we call Agribusiness Masterclass within the next couple of weeks. But we also want to know people that are interested, that become the first set of people that can be admitted into that academy. The goal of this Agribusiness Masterclass is to give them access to mentorship, access to even funding and different kind of opportunities that can come with it. So I'm going to share a link now in the chat box. For people that want to show their interest, that are interested in it, let me just share that now to all members. You can go there to indicate your interest, whether you are actually interested in the Agribusiness Masterclass or not. The second thing I want to share with everyone is another program by one of the actually members of the faculty for the Agribusiness Masterclass. That is sponsored by the J-Hub Fund. So right now, they are actually running an opportunity for agripreneurs, and they are willing to invest as much as $5,000 for people that want to go into agribusiness. If you're already in the agribusiness and you already have some sort of history, so this is a kind of an equity funding. I'm going to share that link as well into the chat box as well. So those that are interested should go to the link. It's as simple, gafafrica.com. I'm going to put it in the chat box right now so that people that want to take advantage of that opportunity can actually do so. Let me just put that here as well. That's it. I would love to bring... Mrs. Folorunsho for the concluding part as well. What would be your advice for young people that want to go into agriculture, for people that want to, that are willing to pay the price, that are willing to actually do the work? What would be your concluding advice too? I could see some people raising hands, but Mrs. Folorunsho, you can go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Doctor. And my advice to the youth generally, I said it earlier, if you want to go into agriculture, take it as agribusiness, full-time business, commitment. If you are not committed, you cannot succeed. If you are not patient, you cannot succeed. You must have the technical know-how. You must go into the training. You must be able to be fully engaged in it, know what you want to do. The technical know-how is very, very important. What you don't know, you ask. Borrow from other people's experience. Don't just jump in onto the farm and think you can make it big. It's not like that. Farming is not like that. It's not like a Yahoo business. It is a committed business. You must be seen to be doing it. It's a practical business. You cannot delegate agri to anybody. You can have partners. You can work with people so that you can go further. But you cannot leave it for somebody to do for you and you want to reap the profit. You must be there practically. You must be committed. You must be ready to work along with those that have already known it, those that are well established. And then don't be afraid of credit. Don't be afraid. Some people are afraid of credit even before they start the business. You cannot always go far with the little you have at hand, but you can add more to it by being sincere. When you are sincere, people will accept you. When you are sincere, people will take you on board. Those that have known the business very well, they will work with you. But if you are not sincere and you want to reap what you don't sow, you will never go far. Even in BOA, we have people who come for our loan, the youth, and we know them, they are doing well. And we know those that are rogues, those that are not ready to do the work, but they just want the money. When they collect the money, they change the address so that we don't locate them. But we use all our means to get them back on board. So please, my advice for the youth is sincerity of purpose. Sincerity of purpose. Please be committed. Agric is very rich. It's a very lucrative business. You can make more than you think in Agric. You can be very rich. We have testimonies of people who started with 100,000 and they are now taking millions to facilitate their business. You need to start small and grow big. Our own logo, just like, thank God my MD is on board, my former MD is on board, Santuraki. Our current logo, improving lives, growing community. When you start small, your life will be improved. You will grow and you will go places. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mark.
To go in a little bit. I just wanted to add two things. I think because at least we have Nigeria Shakers on the call, we have Mr. Santuraki on the call. I wanted to just add two things, and I think it came from one of the questions that one of the attendees raised. And one of those questions was the issue of insecurity. Farming usually takes place in rural areas and faraway communities where farmers, young people in most cases, have to go to. We have huge insecurity problems that can only be resolved by government. In Southwest Nigeria, there's this Amotekun plan that is probably working, probably not working. People don't understand what is happening. But somebody, one of the farmers that we know very, very closely, was recently kidnapped and her fiancé was killed. And she was on the route to our farm. This insecurity issue has to be addressed at a very central level. There is no way any farmer, and I think Mrs. Folorunsha was also saying it, that the NAIC does not actually insure against issues like terrorism and this kind of insecurity issues, which means people are essentially just putting their lives on the line to go and produce, and then somebody steps in and takes out their lives. I think this issue has to be addressed at the most strategic level, and it has to be given the topmost priority. Wherever we have a voice, I think we should put this out there, that farmers are actually at risk of being kidnapped and killed. That's the first. The second is on the issue of support for farmers. So when these farmers produce, they produce in rural areas. There is a need for logistical infrastructure that can connect them from the rural areas to the urban areas where consumption usually takes place. Unfortunately, there's been a policy by government, there's been this huge fight between NIPOST and all whatnot about actually taxing logistics companies. The unintended consequence of this policy is that we're going to actually stifle agricultural productivity because people are going to be producing and they're not going to get access to markets. So the consequence is that we're actually financing agriculture, but we are taxing the connection between that agriculture and the market. And it's not just tax, right? We do some logistical activity because of our work. You pay to the local government, you will pay to the state government, you pay almost everybody. And then in addition, NIPOST is adding their 2% on revenue taxes. I believe at the topmost level, at the most strategic level, we have to start discussing whether we really want to incentivize agriculture or we want to just, you know, make these people work all their lives and not earn anything. So while we are trying to advise people that they should work on the internal fundamentals that can help them to produce, we should also not kill their efforts through you know, misguided fiscal policy from government. I think these two are top priorities. So security and fiscal policy instrument to incentivize agriculture. A key learning opportunity is to go and look at the one district, one factory initiative in Ghana. This initiative is doing pretty well, and I think we have a lot of things we can learn from that. We need to drive prosperity in this land, and we can drive that prosperity through young people, but we should not stifle their productivity.
I think we can overstate that. The two major issues that you've mentioned, Femi, they are critical component. If we're interested in terms of agricultural development in Nigeria, the idea of insecurity is at the core of it. Without security, any other thing, it just works. And I thank you so much, Femi, for bringing this into this kind of conversation. Anytime we have opportunities to bring it across to especially people that have even much more connected and also in the place of power, it's always a very good opportunity to do that. And the other is the idea of the logistical infrastructure. That's important. Thank you for bringing that to the forefront. Because of our time, I would love to start bringing this webinar to a close. It seems most of the questions raised have been answered. But for people that might have other questions, please feel free to still keep them across. If possible, I can still get them across to some of our members of the panel and maybe make them available. But I will also share the link of FarmWeller, which is the organization organizing, coordinating this webinar series. As part of, there's another information I want to pass across on that. Within the next 2 weeks, we're going to turn this webinar to a weekly event, whereby we actually bring in even people within the agricultural space to actually give more voice to the kind of conversation that we'll be having today. So I'm going to share the Facebook link of FarmWeller. Do well to follow it for more information as they start coming within the next couple of days. We hope to have the opportunity to bring back Mrs. Fuller and Shaw in our subsequent webinar, and also Femi as well. We are still trying to see how we can cut Femi to come as one of the members in the Agribusiness Masterclass. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later. But I really want to thank all the members of the panel and also everybody that has been able to attend this webinar. We really, really thank you for the patience and also the members of the panel for sharing your time and your talent. But before I finally close, I would love to bring the Prof. Ikemiroti, maybe any concluding talk from Osun State University, who is also a collaborator in all of this. Ma, do you have any concluding thoughts now that you would love to share with both members of the panel and the attendees before we close the meeting? Are you there, Ma? Let me try to unmute.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, yeah, Prof.
Hello, yeah. Thank you very much, Doctor. We appreciate you and the entire team. We appreciate you for this program that we have been enjoying for some time now. And our students, both staff and students from Osun State University, are enjoying the program and they are keying in. And the interesting part of it is that they are not just listening, they are making use of the information gathered. I want to appreciate the members of the panel. I'm not sure. I got Mrs. Titilayo Idiat Olorunso, the zonal manager, Southwest Region of Bank of Agric. So we are grateful to you for your presentation. We love it. I just that I would have loved to ask a few questions.
Please do.
I would just say that I was like feeling the interest rate for agri-based business seems to me too high from the Bank of Agri. So I don't know. I think that should be looked into. It's really very important the topics that were treated today by our discussants. I also appreciate Mr. Femi Aiki from the Food Locker. The two most important thing in agri or in the success of any agricultural venture is funding and marketing. And usually we tie the marketing to storage or we tie storage to marketing, knowing that once agri-produce come out, if they are not processed, we want to dispose them because of the problem of storage. So getting market at the right time is very important in any agricultural business. And like we all know, people are not readily disposed of funding agencies are usually not readily disposed of funding agri-based businesses. But with this Bank of Agriculture that is on ground and having enlightened us and our people on how best to assess these opportunities, I think and I believe our people will key into it and we will see the positive results it will generate. So I appreciate you once again. Thank you, Dr. Cornelius. God bless you so much. So we'll be expecting the subsequent editions of the program. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much, Prof. We really, really appreciate you that. Yeah, one of the questions I would love us to actually look into is the idea of the interest rate. And I don't know if Ms. Olorunso still wants to get a little bit into that. Is there any kind of flexibility or are there things that people can do to even enjoy a lower interest rate? Maybe cooperative farming, cluster farming, or is there another thing that can reduce interest rate, maybe from that 12% to something lower? What are there flexibility within that, or it's just a constant on that, so to say? I don't know whether we can just 1 or 2 minutes to delve into that. We're already actually behind schedule a little bit.
Huh?
Are you there, Ma?
Yes, I'm there. Yeah. This the issue of this interest rate policy, you know, it's not really, like I said earlier, it's a government policy. We don't just change the rates anyhow. And you remember our role. You remember our role. We are specifically established to provide credit to agriculture, non-agri sector, focusing on rural development. We are ABFR. We cannot just tamper with interest, but government is already looking at it, especially now, to cushion the effect of this pandemic and the inflationary rate. We cannot do it on our own. But I want to tell you one thing. Our loan is not expensive. The taste of the pudding is in the eating. If you don't try BOA, you will not know that our loan is cheap. Doctor, you remember I told you when you came?
Yeah.
It is really 12% for micro, but I'm telling you it is 1% per month. Because we are doing it at a reducing balance. Our loan is the cheapest anywhere in Nigeria now. Go and check it. And we don't use any force, any kind of intimidation to either disburse or to get our money back. We go into persuasion, we talk with people, we monitor. And our interest and our recovery rate is over 90%. Because we work with the peasants, we work with the real farmers, not adulterated farmers. Our interest is cheap, reducing balance. Please check it. The accountants among us, check it. Reducing balance as 12%. On a monthly basis, it's 1%. 1%. Monthly basis. So tell me anywhere in the bank, any other bank that you can get this loan at 1% per month. Even the microfinance cannot do it. The least we have around is 3%. Because we too, we have done our survey. 12% per annum is not too expensive, please. It's not.
Yeah.
But I think government is still looking at it with people's complaint, more so that we're supposed to be a development bank. So they are looking at it anytime from now, there could be a change downward anyway. And I hope God will help us.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I really, really appreciate that, to shed more light on that. Well, we are 15 minutes behind time. I don't really like getting too late on the webinar. Once again, I really appreciate all the members of the panel and people that have hung in there with the content today. We're going to provide the audio and also the video, especially for people that we have their email within our network. Once again, thank you all for being here. We really, really appreciate you gracing us with your time. Thanks again, everybody. And that brings us to the end of the webinar.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.